What exactly does it mean to believe in Jesus? We're going to explore the ins and outs of that question on today's exciting episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. I'm so glad that you've tuned in because currently we're doing question and answer. Every once in a while, we take a few weeks off of our otherwise broadcasting schedule to just answer questions, and it's grown to a pile of questions that have come in from listeners just like you. So if you're interested in getting your questions answered on air with Bob and Sean, then send us an email. That email needs to go to radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's interesting question with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Now, Bob and I are doing Q&As. Send your questions, your Bible questions, your theology questions, the kind of questions you don't get to ask your pastor or your Bible study leader or your Sunday school teacher. You're too embarrassed. Well, don't be embarrassed to ask us. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. For example, here's a question from Monique.
Okay.
Monique says, I've believed in Jesus to save me, but lately my assurance has been faltering. And yes, I understood that assurance is of the essence of saving faith. But here's the thing. In my heart, I believed in Jesus, but the question is, do I also need to tell God that I believed in him to save me in order to actually be saved? Obviously, I tend to overthink things, but this matter has really started to trouble me. Is salvation received by believing, or is salvation received by believing and then telling God that you believe?
Well, I receive a number of questions similar to this, and the answer would be that it's very clear in John 3:16 or John 5:24 or 100 other verses in the Bible that a person is born again, regenerated, or justified simply by faith in Christ. Apart from telling God they believed, apart from telling anybody else they believed, apart from any works, apart from anything else, at the moment of faith, a person is justified, saved, born again.
Now, it's probably the most natural thing in the world to eventually, at some point, maybe immediately after, say, Lord, I believed in you, to somehow verbalize it as an expression of what you believe. But that is not a condition. That doesn't make it a condition. It's like you can jump up and down for joy for being born again.
Right.
But again, that's not the condition to be born again.
Right. And even telling God, if we have a proper understanding of who God is, then it's a little redundant to tell him what we've done because he knew
right.
from
he
eternity
knows.
Past the exact moment in time when we were going to come to faith. And when we do come to faith, he knows it not just then, but he's already known it forever. God knows all things, and he's not surprised. It's fine to remind him, say, hey, Lord, just wanted to remind you I just came to faith. But I think a better thing to do would be to say, thank you, Lord, for the gift of everlasting life.
Right.
And when she's talking about assurances of the essence, maybe you could explain that, Sean, because a lot of our listeners aren't going to know what she means by that.
Well, okay, assurance being of the essence is basically, it means at the point of faith, at some point in your life, since Jesus promised that believers have everlasting life, there has to have been some point in your life where you believed that you have everlasting life because Jesus gave it to you through faith. At some point in your life, you need to have been assured that, yeah, I have it. I've got it because he promised that.
So in other words, let's say you're dealing with a person and you say to this person, Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47. Do you believe in Jesus? And they say yes. And then you say, so what do you have? And they say, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Then they haven't really believed in Jesus, have they?
Right, because the text says he who believes in me has everlasting life. And if the light then comes on and they say, wow, you mean you're saying just by believing in Jesus I have everlasting life? And you say, well, I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that, but that's right.
Mm-hmm.
If at that point they said, well, then I have everlasting life because I'm believing in him. And that's what he's promising. And we'd go, great. But at that moment, then, they know that they have what Jesus promises.
Right.
But if they've never had that, let's say you're talking to a person, and they say, well, I've never believed that. Well, then the person's not yet been born again.
Because they've not yet believed his promise. They've probably believed in Jesus. They've believed facts about his life. They probably understand that he brings salvation, but they haven't yet believed in him for what he promised.
Right. A lot of people explain the evangelistic message or the saving message this way. You're a sinner. Your sin separates you from God. But Jesus died on the cross to take care of all your sins. And if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for all your sins, then he'll take away your sins, and then he'll save you. Would you like to believe in him for taking away your sins? A person will often go, well, yes, I already believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and you're saying I get salvation for just believing that? And they'll go, yeah, and okay, that's great. Now, they don't believe they've gotten salvation that's secure, not unless someone tells them. Mm-hmm. What they believe is, like you said, they get something, some kind of probation, some kind of good start,
yeah,
whatever it is. But part of the problem is many people evangelize in an unclear way. Jesus doesn't promise us eternal life if we believe he died on the cross and rose again, even though we should believe those things.
Right.
He promises us everlasting life if we believe in him for that life.
Right.
A prime place we see that is John 11:25-27, where Jesus is talking to Martha, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life.
Right.
And then he explains each part. As the resurrection, he says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's mm-hmm. the promise of resurrection, that the believer is going to be raised into the kingdom, raised to glory. And then as the life, he says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die.
Right.
So the promise is, if you believe in Jesus, you're never going to die spiritually. You have life everlasting. And then he asked Martha, do you believe this? Well, her answer isn't, I don't know.
Right.
Her answer is, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God.
Well, I think that's one of the episodes that Monique alludes to, because Martha gives a verbal declaration of her faith.
Right.
Presumably she would have already believed, and presumably Jesus would already know that. So, you know, why would he, just for the reasons that you gave before, God already knows, you don't need to tell him. So why is he asking this? Why is he trying to elicit in her an out loud declaration of her faith?
Well, I think there's several reasons, but one of the biggest ones is the Lord knows this is going to become part of Scripture, and this is going to be a key section in John's gospel tied in with John 20:31, where the same expression, the Christ, the Son of God, appears. But on top of that, it's also pivotal for Martha herself, because Martha needs to be reminded, not only will her brother be raised in the last day, which she said just before John 11:25 starts, but Jesus is about to raise him from the dead right now,
yeah,
to give him extended life. But on top of all that, she needs to always keep in mind who Jesus is. She knows this to be true, but this needs to be foremost in her thinking. And it seems to me this needs to be foremost in the thinking of every believer.
Sure.
It's also for the unbeliever, of course. That's how they come to faith.
Yeah.
But for us as believers, I hope we never advance beyond the joy of knowing for sure that we're never going to die spiritually.
I mean, open confession of Christ is an important part of discipleship. You
right.
know, Jesus doesn't want you to be a secret believer that just keeps your faith to yourself all the time.
Okay, there's a better answer than mine. I like that. He's eliciting a confession from her, which right. is good for her.
Right.
And yes, we should all confess our faith, but you can only confess what you believe. So she had to believe it before she could confess it. And even Monique, when she asks the question, she makes it clear she believed before she told God she believed.
Right.
Well, if we're born again by believing, then when we tell God we've already believed, we're simply reminding God of the fact that we were born again back there when we first believed.
Right. So maybe to summarize, there's two answers to Monique's question. Her question is, do you need to believe plus tell God that you believe? So is the salvation received by believing and then telling God that you believe? Well, we know that's not true for two reasons. One, the only condition stated to be born again is to believe. There's no verse that says you got to believe and also tell God to believe. There's no
right.
verse that says that.
Right.
And secondly, it would be redundant because God would already know that because he's omniscient. So
right.
that would be almost a nonsensical condition because you don't need to tell him that. He would already know.
And I think a third thing would be we have many examples in Scripture of people who were born again and didn't tell the Lord. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, she comes to faith. She leaves her water pot. and goes away to tell the men in the village.
And what she tells the men in the village is more of a question.
Right. Could this be the Christ?
Could this be the guy?
I think she says it that way because of her low reputation.
Probably.
But in any case, she doesn't tell the Lord Jesus that she believes in him.
Right.
She goes away and witnesses to the men. Same thing with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. We're not told in John's gospel exactly when Nicodemus comes to faith. It's probably John chapter 3. But there's no indication in the text that he told Jesus that.
Right.
And there were many people who came to faith, and we have no indications of anybody in the gospel of John that I can think of that when they come to faith, they indicate they believed in him for salvation. You do have in the synoptics, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Maybe the Samaritans. You know, the Samaritans
say, you're right.
We believe not because of what she said, but because
we've heard you.
But you were talking earlier about confusing ways of evangelism, and I think about how many people evangelize by requiring people to say the sinner's prayer.
Right.
So presumably you've believed, but to be saved, now you have to say the sinner's prayer out loud. And I wonder if that's a little bit like what Monique is wondering about.
Well, it seems it's similar. And the problem is that strips people of assurance. She's going through doubts about her salvation because of this very point.
Right.
So what we need to do is not point people to their prayer they pray.
Yeah.
Or to confessing to God or confessing to men they believe, we need to point them to Jesus and say, this is what he promises. He who believes in me has everlasting life. It's really that simple. If you're a believer, you have everlasting life. If you're not, you don't.
It's really amazing how many different ways there are to add to faith as the condition of salvation. It could be circumcision. It could be a life of good works, or it could be something as simple as now you got to tell God that you've believed.
Well, or in this age, baptism.
There's a thousand and one different ways to confuse the gospel message.
Right.
Which is simply faith alone, in Christ alone, for eternal salvation.
That's it.
Well, I hope that this cleared some things up for you, and if it's provoked questions, please write to Bob and I at radio@faithalone.org, and we will try to answer your questions on air.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment, or some feedback. And if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what exactly the term Christ actually means. So you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus. Thank you.